Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Football on off the ball.
Because a game of opinions, especially bad opinions, I was kind of got to that stage where I was like, no one, I don't want anyone to have ownership or say over me ever again. And that's why I walked away from the game.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Balls Football Daily.
Welcome along to Monday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, we'll hear from Ireland assistant boss John O'Shea after Evan Ferguson is ruled out of the Portugal game. Reaction from Shamrock Rovers manager Stephen Bradley after their first league and cup double since 1987. And Arne Slot admits Liverpool are now outsiders in the Premier League title race. But first today, it was confirmed that Evan Ferguson has been ruled out of Ireland's World Cup qualifier at home to Portugal at the Aviva on Thursday night. Ferguson will stay with Roma to continue his recovery from an ankle injury in the hope that he could feature in next Sunday's game away to Hungary. Roma boss Gianpiero Gasperini said after Sunday's win over Udinese in Serie A that Ferguson would remain in Rome for treatment and wouldn't travel at all. Celtic striker Johnny Kenny, who scored against Kilmarnock yesterday, has been called up along with Hibs midfielder Jamie McGrath. He replaces the injured Mark Sykes, who has a shin injury. Ireland assistant John O'Shea gave this update at today's press conference.
Yeah, listen, let's wait and see. Obviously, we were hopeful for both games, but the Portugal one is going to obviously come around too quick. We're fully aware it was going to be a close call. And obviously, like the boss spoke about in terms of readying the squad and what was going to be needed if obviously Evan didn't make it. So, listen, obviously Johnny's coming in full of confidence on the back of that. But let's wait and see possibilities.
Shamrock Rovers are celebrating a first league and cup double in 38 years after their 2-0 win over Cork City at the Aviva Stadium in the FAI Cup final. Cork's Harry Nevin was shown a straight red card for a challenge on Josh Honan just before half time, and a half that Ger Nash's side probably shaded. Galway man Rory Gaffney scored twice in the second half to win it for Rovers. It's Stephen Bradley's second FAI Cup success, and he says after his son's leukemia diagnosis and subsequent recovery, it put life into perspective for him.
I don't, maybe before Josh got sick, I would have been one to try and plan and to try and map out your future. But when Josh got sick, it really made me understand that you've just got to live in every moment and every day. And people might have heard me say that and think, yeah, don't really believe it. But until you're in a situation when your life changes in the blink of an eye, I truly believe that now. Whatever my story is, however it's written, it will be. Like, you know, I'm okay, I'm comfortable with what I am, where I am. Do I want, like, I've made no secret of what I want to achieve in the game. But there's no grand plans. What will be for me. I'm not someone, I'm 40. I'm still learning, still trying to be better. And like I said, wherever I end up, wherever I do, it's fine with me. I'm comfortable with that.
Dundalk have confirmed that Chris Clinton has acquired John Temple's 65% stake in the club and will take over as the chairperson. The American has also confirmed discussions are ongoing with the FAI around a Premier Division licence for the club next season. Dundalk won the First Division last season under Kieran Kilduff, who agreed a 2-year deal.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Last week, Premier League champions Liverpool lost for a fifth time in the league this season. Arne Slot's side were beaten 3-0 by Manchester City at the Etihad yesterday. Erling Haaland had a first-half penalty saved by Gyorgy Mamardashvili before he gave Pep Guardiola's side the lead. Virgil van Dijk thought he'd equalised with a header. It was ruled out. Andy Robertson was adjudged to have interfered with play in an offside position. Nico Gonzalez got a second before half-time. A man of the match, Jeremy Doku, got the third in the second half. City are up to second, 4 points behind Arsenal. Liverpool boss Arne Slot has conceded they're outsiders for the title.
The best way to judge the league table is, of course, after 38. But the next best thing to judge it is after 19 games, because then you all faced the same opponents. And, our first focus should be on getting results in. And the last thing we should focus on is on the title race.
Slot added that his side should think about improving their form before thinking about defending their title.
Last season when we were 8 points clear, it never felt as if it was done already. But I don't think at this moment of time as a Liverpool manager we should talk about the number one position. We should focus on our own performance. That needs to be better. But there were a lot of positives in this week as well.
Meanwhile, Manchester City boss Pep Guardiola believes he and his players have got their energy back this season.
We have been an example, otherwise you don't win in modern football. You know, and why I understand the players, why one or two players don't have to run and 8-9 players have to run. Why these 9 players have to run for one or two players and run? No, in that team, everyone has to do the incredible effort. And after with the ball, we'll see what happens.
It was Guardiola's 1,000th game in management. He said it was the perfect way to mark the occasion.
They gave me a good present, the players, with this performance and against the champions. And they had to do a good performance and they really defensively and many, many good things happened and it's really pleased for everything.
Stephen Doyle and Brian Kerr were there for Off the Ball on commentary duty, and on yesterday's Sunday kickback, Kerr said that Slot's Liverpool selection didn't work at all.
Yeah, I'm sure they did come with high hopes, and it was an adventurous approach in the selection, leaving Wirtz in the team. And Nketiah is the front man, given that when we were here last in February, when they won 2-0, they played without an out-and-out centre-forward, played Diaz and Salah wide, and it kind of sabotaged a false nine with three midfield players behind them, including Curtis Jones. Whereas today, they went with an orthodox 4-2-3-1. But it didn't go for them. They were outplayed. They didn't really get into the game early on. And once Manchester City got the breakthrough, you were kind of hoping Liverpool might come back and get into the game for the sake of the game. But that didn't work out like that. Apart from the one corner kick they got in the first half and Virgil van Dijk's header, which went into the net. But they decided to... with the help of VAR, they decided that it was an offside goal. Linesman flagged for offside. I didn't agree with the decision. I think Andy Robertson ducked to let the ball into the net, but he wasn't in the line of view of the goalkeeper. Neither did he attempt to play the ball. So I thought Liverpool were harshly done with that. But after that, Manchester City dominated the game. Got the second goal before half time. A good shot from Nico Gonzalez, short corner. Liverpool slow to react to get out to it. Cherokee and Foden both got lots of time on the ball, able to play the ball to Gonzalez on the edge of the box. He had time to take a touch and then strike the ball quite well. It clipped off Virgil van Dijk. But that time, it said, you were dominating the game. Doku and O'Reilly were causing fierce problems down the left-hand side consistently from early in the game with the help of Foden on that side. And the Liverpool front lot, I'd say, were the front three, I suppose, were outclassed and outplayed, and they were just out-muscled at times, but a lot of energy about Manchester City today. They were very good.
On Monday morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, football writer Jonathan Wilson joined Ger Gilroy and Colin Buhig. He said this latest version of Guardiola's team could be ominous for the Premier League.
Is there a possibility, though, that he is building something here? Like, I think we've probably talked in this slot over the last couple of months about it feeling like this was the end of something, but the Guardiola stopped scratching his eyes out. He stopped cutting himself during games, he feels more calm and relaxed, almost as if it's like he sees a new team building. And I'm looking at the age profile of the group, and all of a sudden, there's a bunch of young lads in the team, 20, 23-year-olds. And you're like, okay, and they're all starting to find a bit of form and shape. And I accept the point that they're not yet where his teams previously were. But what if this is his third great Man City team and he starts to feel like, actually, I'm the new Ferguson and I'm emboldened. There's some Wolverine juice or something being injected into him by the youth.
I mean, possibly. I just think they're so stylistically simplistic compared to what they were. This whole thing, I mean, you know, Guardiola is one of the most passive-aggressive men in the history of humanity. This feels like a passive-aggressive way of playing. But that interview he gave in January, where he said, we don't play modern football anymore. Modern football has been played by Brighton and Bournemouth and Newcastle and Liverpool. And it was taken at the time to mean that he was talking about players who run with the ball, which I think to an extent he was talking about that. And by extension, maybe his form of playing, the way he gets a position, can become quite predictable. And I think there was an element of that. But if you go back and look at that interview, he's actually talking about the calendar. He's talking about how many games they have to play, how many injuries you get just because of the pressure on players is so much. The fact that there's very limited time on the training pitch, that for the way he wants to play, he's got to have quite a small squad who all understand what he wants, you know, intimately. And then every game he gives them a new blueprint of this is how you beat Barcelona, or this is how you beat Real Madrid, or this is how you beat Liverpool. And it's different for every game. Sorry, excuse me. But there's just no time to do that now. And I think City are not the only team to find this. I think this is why set plays have become more fashionable again. The set plays are something where you get a lot of bang for your training ground book, that an hour working on set plays on the training pitch actually has a huge impact on the pitch, in a way that an hour working on shape, although the shape may help you dominate the game more in a sort of general sense, it doesn't have quite that direct correlation unless you're already at that level. But he was saying in that January interview, you've got to have a bigger squad, and that means the squad is less finely honed, it's less finely attuned to exactly what he wants to do. So it almost feels like he said, all right, if I can't play my way, I'm going to play in the most obvious, traditional, sarcastic way. I'm just going to have a big centre forward. He's going to score 45 goals this season. I'm going to have a big goalkeeper who's going to make some brilliant saves at times. I'm going to have a winger who dribbles in and you know, scores, I don't know, 10 goals a season and gets 20 assists. I'm going to show that I can do this playing retrograde, old-fashioned, slightly naff football. I don't know if that is what he's thinking, but it's certainly what it feels like.
A last point on that. It's almost as if he's made peace with that and he's beginning to enjoy it.
Oh yeah, well, sarcasm is great, right? You know, once you decide, kind of, I'm not going to take this seriously. I'm just going to, if this is how they want me to do it, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to beat them at this as well. I think that's a great position to be in. And he's got the get out that if they don't win,
he didn't mean it.
It's like, well, you know. I was only doing this because of the fixture. It's not my fault.
Off the Ball Breakfast is live each and every weekday morning from 7:30 on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And you can listen back to that chat in full in your OTB football podcast stream right now. Elsewhere in the Premier League yesterday, Newcastle still yet to pick up an away win in the league this season. They were beaten 3-1 by Brentford at the G-Tech. Dan Byrne was sent off for the away side, who were 1-0 up at halftime thanks to a goal from Harvey Barnes. But Kevin Shaddy equalised, and two goals from their top scorer Igor Tiago means that Keith Andrews' side are up to 12th. Newcastle boss Eddie Howe admits his Newcastle team might need a reset.
Well, if there is a reshuffle, it needs to be done in the right way. It needs to be done with analysis and then detailed thought as to how the team's going to go forward. And I'm not adverse to that. I mean, look, never going to do the same thing continually, and we haven't done, and expect a different result. I don't think that's right.
On yesterday's Sunday kickback, I was joined by Keith Tracy, and he says that Newcastle's away form is a real concern.
Okay, at the start of the season, I don't think we would have envisaged Newcastle being so far down the table.
No. And again, you look at them and you think, okay, maybe they're just struggling to get to grips with the European nights and the rigmarole of the Premier League. they've got a good enough squad to be able to do it. I know they've got some injuries. I know they need to win more games. Some of the games they've lost on the road this season, I think that's their sixth game now, haven't picked up, I think it's 3 points on the road they picked up, and they've all been three draws. Every other game they've been turned over away from home. And look, up in St. James's, we all know they're going to be very, very good there. But they've got to win on the road. They have to. If they want to be in the Champions League next season, they've got to win on the road. So I'm a million miles away from saying Eddie Howe is under pressure. But the longer this bad away form keeps going and they stay in the second half of the Premier League, the Saudi owners aren't going to be happy with that.
And you can listen to both Sunday Kickbacks in your OTB Football podcast feed for free now. Bournemouth suffered back-to-back away defeats. They were beaten 4-0 by Aston Villa. Emi Buendia, Amadou Onana, Ross Barkley and Daniel Malin scored the goals for Villa, who were up to sixth. Emi Martinez saved a penalty from Antoine Semenyo. Bournemouth boss Andoni Iraola admits he's worried about his team's form.
I'm a little worried with the first half, yes, because I think it's coming after a game against City where we also haven't been at our level. So it's two games where I think it's a warning a little bit from the competition.
Villa boss Unai Emery says his side are back to their best.
We're sending the message inside to increase our demands, to increase our consistency every day, working, arriving for the matches, focusing, intense focus for each match. And we did really a fantastic month.
Leeds boss Daniel Farke says his team remain on course to beat the Premier League drop. They're a point above the relegation zone, but the German is coming under increasing pressure after a fourth loss in five games. They were beaten 3-1 away to fellow strugglers Nottingham Forest.
We have 11 games, we have 11 points. That's the point average that we need to stay in this league. We were not on one game day under the line, so never in the relegation zone. This is also good. Could have been better if we would have won a few more points in the last two away games, yes.
That was the first league win for Forest boss Sean Dyche, and he says there's no reason why Morgan Gibbs-White can't get back into the England squad. The midfielder was left off Thomas Tuchel's latest selection for the World Cup qualifiers, but responded with a goal in that win over Leeds.
Getting himself back to the basics of what he does, that energy, that I call infectious, his on-pitch presence of being infectious around the group, and then going and relaxing and scoring goals and arriving as he did. There's two of them type of goals, Very pleased for him. So just want him to keep playing with a smile.
Yesterday's other game in the Premier League was a nil-all draw between Crystal Palace and Brighton at Selhurst Park. Rob Edwards is set to leave Middlesbrough for Wolves on a 3.5-year deal. There's a club-to-club agreement over a compensation fee of around £3 million for the 42-year-old, whose existing Middlesbrough deal was due to run through to 2028. Edwards played for Wolves and was interim coach in 2016. Wolves are bottom of the Premier League with 2 points from 11 games after Saturday night's 3-0 loss at Chelsea. And Celtic interim manager Martin O'Neill says he's had no further update regarding his future at the club. His side moved within 7 points of the top of the Scottish Premiership with a 4-0 win over Kilmarnock. Johnny Kenny scored the first goal. O'Neill says he doesn't know if that was his last game in charge.
I'll take a little time to reflect on the fortnight that I've had, and see where we go. If the board do decide that they want to appoint a manager at this minute or in the next fortnight, that's absolutely fine by me.
That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.